I greet you, brothers and sisters, in the most precious name of King Jesus. Amen. Yes, welcome to this worship service where we want to listen from God's word. And I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of John. I'm busy with the book of John. Last time when I preached, we learned that and we heard the words of Jesus. There he says, "I am the bread." And after the worship service, someone said, "Pastor, but I need the bread." Today we are going to learn, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection." And please don't come to me and say, "Please resurrect me." Because it's only Jesus who has that power to resurrect us from the dead. John 11, 1 to 6. And actually, the next time that I'll preach, then we'll hit that and explain more of what we mean there by Jesus saying that he's the resurrection. John 11, the first six verses. The death of Lazarus. And the word of God reads as follows. "Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' After saying these things, he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awake him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, that you may believe. But let us go to him.' So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" That's how we read God's word. Amen. When we are told that a friend is ill, we wish them a speedy recovery. We pray for them. And we make plans to physically visit them. Visiting and praying for the sick was a pious obligation in Judaism. So Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus that Lazarus is ill. Who was Lazarus? Lazarus was loved and was a friend of Jesus. And how do you expect Jesus to respond to this message? Lazarus, your friend, the one whom you love, is ill. How do you expect Jesus to respond upon hearing this news? We expect Jesus to start casting, binding the devil, so that Lazarus would be better. We expect Jesus to start rebuking and binding the devil and then visit physically. But Jesus does not do that. The Bible tells us that he stayed 2 more days. Isn't it shocking? Verse 6, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Where was Jesus? From the previous chapter, that is chapter 10, the Jews said to Jesus, "If you are the Christ, tell us. Don't leave us in suspense for too long. Please tell us, who are you?" That's verse 10. To which Jesus responded, what does he say? "I and the Father are one." Ah? Blasphemy. Stone him. Because they did not believe that Jesus is one with God, his Father. This provoked the Jews, for they did not believe Jesus. They accused him of blasphemy. "You make yourself equal with God. You are man." Stone him. And so they picked up stones to kill Jesus, but Jesus escaped from them. So Jesus traveled east and went north and crossed the Jordan with his disciples. And while he was there, then he receives this message from the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. "Lazarus, whom you love, is ill." Verse 8 says, "Just now." It wasn't too long after Jesus had fled. While he was there, Jesus received this news. And listen to verse 3. What is the news? "He," Lazarus, "whom you love, is ill." Obviously, the two sisters expected Jesus to respond speedily, to do something about it. But he did not hurry to heal Lazarus. Jesus' response is strange to our ears. Isn't it? What does it say? Verse 4. "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And that's my focus first. Verse 4. Strange indeed. What a response. And this is not something which Mary and Martha expected from Jesus. Instead of instantly healing Lazarus from the distance, he could do that. He could have done that. Jesus chooses not to. He chooses not to. Or better, rush to go see Lazarus. Well, Jesus takes 2 more days. Why? For he knew what he wants to achieve. And we'll come to that. And so let us look at this theme. Even when it hurts, and that's the situation of Mary and Martha and the friends, the family friends, they are mourning. Even when it hurts, believe and glorify God through Jesus Christ. Let's begin by looking at the love of Jesus. Jesus loves me even when it hurts. And secondly, we'll look at God's glory, which is actually the glory of Jesus. And finally, we are going to look at how we have to be brought to this faith We need faith to glorify Jesus. We need faith to glorify God. But to begin with, the love of Jesus. Jesus loves me even when it hurts. It's very hard to believe that, isn't it? When you and I read this text, we wonder, how is it that Jesus loves Lazarus and yet he causes Lazarus to die? He allows Lazarus to die. He causes Mary and Martha so much pain and their family friends. How is it love? If you ask the writer, John, Apostle John, please wait a minute, tell me, why did Jesus not act speedily? Why didn't he heal Lazarus from a distance? He could have done that. John, please tell me, what's happening here? Apostle John would tell you that Jesus did not respond quickly because of love. Yes. Listen carefully to the connection between verse 5 and verse 6. It comes out loud and clear. Verse 5, 6, listen to the connection. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Love. Continue reading. So, and we can translate that so in the Greek with therefore, or because of what? That love. Because of that love, when he, Jesus, heard that Lazarus was ill, he chose to stay 2 days longer. Love. How is that love? That's the big question here. Obviously, the two sisters expected Jesus to respond speedily. Hence later in verse 21 and 32, they all say the same thing. Martha comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if only you were here, my brother wasn't going to die. Mary again comes to Jesus, if only you were here, my brother was not going to die. They expected Jesus to act speedily on this news, but Jesus chooses not to. Yet, we are told, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. John would tell us, because Jesus loves this family, therefore he didn't heal, but allowed Lazarus to die. How is this love, you and I wonder? We learn, therefore, that Jesus does not mainly love us in this life by sparing us from suffering. Hallelujah. We learn very quickly that Jesus doesn't mainly love us by sparing us from suffering, from contracting diseases, from contracting coronavirus, or sparing us from death. That's not so much how he loves us. And sometimes he does expose us to those things. He still loves us, even in those situations. Jesus mainly loves us by showing and giving us himself and his glory. God loves us mainly by giving us himself and all that he is in Jesus Christ. Love. God gives everything he is in Christ Jesus. And Jesus loves us mainly by giving us himself and all that God is in himself. That's love. Not so much the blessings which you and I would want, healing and comfort and wealth and all those things. Not so much that. Of course, he does bless us physically, but he shows his love mainly by giving us himself. I must substantiate this, not so. I must substantiate this. Listen to John 14:21. Jesus says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I, listen carefully, and I will love him. How? How? And I will love him and manifest myself to him. I'll make myself known to him. I'll reveal myself to him. This is how Jesus mainly shows his love, not so much by giving us material blessings, but by giving himself to us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He comes to reveal God in your life, that you will genuinely live for the very purpose why God created you. Well, the same is true with God. John 3:16, what do we read? For God so loved the world, what does he do? He gives us Jesus. He gave us his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Love, he gives us Christ. Christ who does what? Who reveals God. The Bible says he is the exact imprint of God, his Father. He is Emmanuel, he is God with us. That's God's love. God gives himself to us. Not so much material things, these things that you want to see with your eyes. Not so much healing, comfort, wealth. Not so much that. And here is the situation. Lazarus is dead. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love this family. The Bible is very clear. Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so he allows Lazarus to die. Very difficult gospel to believe. And yet, it is the whole truth. Because, John 3:16, because God loves us, he did not spare his Son, even if he had to suffer enormous pain. At the baptism of Jesus, we are told, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God loves Jesus, and yet he allows him to die. At the very heart of eternal life is the never-ending knowing of God the Father and God the Son. For God so loved the world, he gave us Christ, that if we believe in him, we should not perish but have eternal life. God continuously revealing himself to us. He gives himself to us. At the cost of Jesus, God's love brought us into an everlasting knowing, admiring, loving, and enjoying God in ways we would never have imagined. That's love. He's giving himself. Dear friends, don't measure the love of God for you by how much health, wealth, and comfort he brings into your life. And that's how, you know, the world has come to quantify God's love. The blessed ones, those in the front seats of God are those who are doing well in life, owning big businesses, you know, driving big cars and owning big houses and having big number of church members, 10,000, 12,000. Not so much that. Don't measure the love of God for you by how much health, wealth, and comfort he brings into your life. If that were true, that we can quantify and limit God's love for us in the material blessings, well, then God must have had a job. But what does the Bible say about Job? Righteous, upright, loved by God. And yet he lost his wealth and health. And this is the man with sores, and yet God loved him. If we were to measure and quantify and limit God's love to material things, then, well, God must have hurted Paul. A thorn in the flesh, remember? And God says, well, my grace is sufficient, Paul. Yes, I know it hurts. But I love you. My grace is sufficient. If that were true, that we can quantify and limit God's love to material blessings, then God must have hurt Jesus. He caused him enormous pain. He says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I love him so much, and yet he causes and he allows him really to pass through this enormous pain beyond human imagination. For what purpose? For his glory. Jesus had to pass through physical and spiritual pain just to reconcile us with his loving Father. Oh, but Jesus is feeling the pain on the cross. Enormous pain beyond what you and I can imagine. Yes. That we would be reconciled with God, his Father. Therefore, begin to measure God's love for you by how much of himself he gives to you. By how much of himself he allows you to know and to enjoy him. Let me ask a question here. What would make you feel, yes, I believe it, God loves me? What is it which you want God to do for you, which will bring you to this point of saying, yes, I can feel it, I know it, I believe it, that Jesus loves me? Think of one thing. It was the love of Jesus for Mary and Martha, for their family friends, and for you and I, which moved Jesus to allow Lazarus to die. It is not healing that which is going to make you to feel, yes, I believe it, I know it, I'm convinced that Jesus loves me. It is not healing, definitely not wealth and health. It is not comfort. Think of Job and Paul. It is not having a $1 million house in Dubai or in Stanton. That's not what is going to make you feel, yes, I believe it, I know it, he loves me. It is not, you know, having a husband with a six-pack. Well, pack is pack. Someone said, if you can't have six, at least have one. It is not having the most beautiful wife in the world, which attracts each and every eye. It is not having children. It is not accumulating this earthly wealth, which is going to make you feel, yes, I believe it and I know it, he loves me. But here is what will make you feel, which will make you experience, feel, know it, that yes, he loves you. The glory of God. When he makes himself known to you in ways far beyond human imagination, and he brings you to this point of worship. If it means that you have to experience pain before you can come to this experience that of the glory of God, Jesus will allow it. And that's what is happening here in the life of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, and the family friends and everyone else. You know, therefore, through the death of Lazarus, Jesus has a bigger plan for Mary, Martha, and the family friends. And for you and I that read this book today, he intends to reveal to us the glorious glory of God. Listen to verse 4. Go back to verse 4. Jesus reveals in verse 4 that the aim of the illness of Lazarus is not death, but to reveal the glory of God and of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has love. And he wants us to bring to this point where we know God and worship him truly, genuinely. With love, Jesus says to Mary and Martha, Yes, I've heard, I've received that news in verse 3. Lazarus, whom you love, is ill. I've received that, but Mary Martha, listen carefully. This is all about my glory. This is not going to go the way you think. You would like a speedy recovery? Ah, not now. And it's not going to go the way you want? It's about the glory of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said about the man born blind? The disciples asked the question, Rabbi, who sinned, this man? Who sinned, this man or his parents? What was the response from Jesus Christ? It was not this man who sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. According to verse 4, it is crystal clear that the glory of God is the glory of Jesus Christ. Listen carefully to verse 4. This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God. When God is glorified, just says, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Wow. So Jesus shares in the glory of his Father. Doesn't he? It's clear in verse 4. That's what is happening here. This illness, it is that God will be glorified, and so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus is sharing in the glory of God his Father. Then who is Jesus? Well, let me remind you, Isaiah 42:8, what we read there, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Who is Jesus? What is God's glory? It is everything to do with his honor, splendor, and dignity. He doesn't share these attributes with any other person. He doesn't share it with anyone, for all the glory, honor, and praise belong to him alone. Therefore, when King Herod tried to imitate, what did people say? This is the voice of God, of a God and not a man. And we all know what happened. According to Acts 12:21-23, so immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. He died because of imitating God's glory, wanting to share in God's glory, wanting to share in God's honor, splendor, and dignity. Or the same is true with Lucifer. What do we know? Isaiah 14:14-15, just before his fall, this is what he said in his heart. He had not even yet acted it out. It was just a plan. This is what he said in his heart. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. What happened? Wanting to share in the glory of God? We all know that the results were very, very disastrous. Lucifer was cursed and cast down to earth, to the far reaches of the pit. Dear friends, you and I know that it is immoral to take credit for something we have not done. One word, what do we call that? It is immoral to take credit for something you have not done. In one word, what do we call that? Perfect. Plagiarism. That's what this King Herod is trying to do here, to imitate, to plagiarize God. That's what Lucifer was trying to do here. I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, planning in his mind before you can even execute it. God crushed him altogether. We know that it is immoral to take credit for something we have not done. Call it plagiarism, cheating on a test, or plagiarizing a book for your assignment. If it is wrong, it is immoral to take credit for what you have not done. If plagiarism is immoral and punishable, how much do you think God despises those that want to imitate him? Those that want to share in his glory? Those that want to take credit for what they are not? King Herod and Lucifer are not God. And they want to take credit. They want to share in that. And for what they have not done, they want to pretend as though it is theirs. God doesn't share his glory with a god or a man. God will not allow false gods, men, not even angels, to imitate him. Lucifer was an angel that God won't allow. Not even Lucifer, an angel, to imitate him, let alone to take credit for what he has not done. Since God will not give his glory to a god or a man or angels, then who is Jesus? Just is saying, this illness is for the glory of God and for the glory of his Son. Clearly, Jesus is saying, I come from God the Father. I share in his glory. He and I are one. Listen to his priestly prayer in John 17, verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have always shared in your glory. Jesus prays in a very strange way, strange to our ears, but at the same time revealing who he truly is. He shows us that the Father would give him glory. The Father would give him his glory. He reveals to have had glory, you know, before creation, long before, and that his glory was that of the Father. Clearly, Jesus is asking the Father to give his glory to another, to his Son. He has already shared in the divine glory in eternity past as the pre-existing Son of God. According to these verses, Jesus is either blaspheming or indeed he and his Father are one. Worthy to sit on his throne. The question, do you believe in Jesus for who he truly is? Or you have this self-made Jesus? It's very easy to have a picture of Jesus, this little Jesus you think in your mind. Do you believe that he is not just able to heal the sick, but actually to replace death with life? Do you believe that? Now and again, Jesus says, I'm glad I wasn't there when Lazarus died, but let us go. I go to awake him up so that you may believe that I and the Father are one. So that you may believe that I do not just have power to heal the sick, actually I replace death with life. So that you may believe that I have been sent by God my Father to come and reveal him to you. It was out of love that he sends me to manifest God to you. That if you know him genuinely for who he truly is, that you would worship him in truth and in spirit. We need faith, finally, to glorify God through Jesus. Jesus did not heal Lazarus, but allowed him to die. For he knew that he has bigger plans. He wants to awaken faith. He is therefore in full control. He says, "Let us go. I go to awaken him." It was not coincidence. It was not by chance that Lazarus rose from the dead. It was in the plan of Jesus. Even before he could do that, he said, "Let us go to Bethany, and I go to awaken him, so that you may believe." He also wants to heal our disbelief. If you see verse 15 and verse 42, there is this disbelief of the Jews, and Jesus wants to heal that. He wants us to believe him so we be able to experience something of the intense glory of God. The works of Jesus causes faith. On the other hand, to those who don't believe in him, they pick up stones and they want to kill him. How about Mary and Martha? What do they believe concerning Jesus? Mary and Martha look at the work of Jesus and believe that he has power to heal the sick. But the question is, did they believe that Jesus has power to raise Lazarus? Oh, they've seen him before healing the sick. That's why they said, "Lazarus, whom you love, is ill. Please do something about it." Oh, now Lazarus is dead. When Jesus comes to the funeral house, Martha argues, "Lord, I know that Lazarus is going to rise in the resurrection." Jesus says, No. "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" This is the question Jesus is posing to Martha in verse 26. "Do you believe this, that I can rise Lazarus from the dead?" Martha believed a lot of things concerning Jesus, but not so much that he could rise Lazarus. Hence she said, "I know in the resurrection, when you come for the second time," just as "not then, now." Do you believe? Now. When Jesus asked that they take away the stones, from the tomb, Martha said, "No, Lord, please, no. There is already an odor, a bad smell. It's 4 days, He's long dead." Jesus almost rebukes Martha in verse 40. "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Did I tell you this?" Martha is strengthened to believe in Jesus in ways more than ever before. That this is the Messiah sent by God to come to this world to reveal God. He has brought God so close to us, Emmanuel, God with us. And through him, in his acts and works, we see the work of God. What is your view of Jesus? Someone who is just able to bless you with good health and to prevent you from contracting COVID-19 and that you can be here and study and have your degree by the end of your studies? Just someone who is able to feed you and to give you good health, wealth, and comfort? What is your view of Jesus? And so when problems strike, perhaps you begin to question his love. How is it love that now even I, who is a child of God, a Christian, can succumb to the virus? It's painful. It hurts. Even in that difficult moment, be rest assured, he loves you. Dear friends, whenever you are experiencing tough times, dare not think that Jesus doesn't love you. And all of us do pass through these tough times at one point or the other. But never doubt his love. Instead, begin to see how glorious is he. What is he teaching you in that situation? We do pass through tough times where we don't see clearly, how is it love that God has allowed me to be in this situation? You could be experiencing tough times and it hurts. This message comes to teach us and to remind us that Jesus loves you so much that he is never too late. So much that he is in absolute control. He loves you so much that he has a bigger plan for you. To reveal the glorious glory of God and to enable you to believe in ways you never ever imagined. Do you believe that Jesus is one with God? That he shares in his glory with his Father? That he doesn't only heal, but actually can replace death with life? No medical doctor has ever done such a thing. If he certified dead after 4 days and we say, no, but there is Dr. So-and-so-and-so in this country, if he can come, he doesn't care. It's 4 days after this guy died, he's going to rise from the dead. There's no medical doctor who has ever done such a thing except Jesus. Why? He is God. He is creator. He is life giver. And so life isn't complex before him. He loves us, even if it hurts, for his glory. Shall we pray? Father, it's in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that indeed we humble ourselves even this moment. And many are the times that we are challenged with the so many difficulties of this world, to a point where we begin to question your love, to a point where we begin to feel as though you do not love us. We thank you for this revelation, and we look at the passing on of Lazarus, so much pain that it brought to the family of Mary and Martha and the family friends, and yet it comes out very clear that you loved this family and you do everything that God will be glorified and that Jesus Christ would be glorified in our lives. Father, we pray now that no matter what kind of a situation we may be going through, that we would learn to worship you genuinely, to glorify you and to say thank you even for this situation. Deepen my faith, strengthen me, bring me to a point where I genuinely worship you for who you truly are. We thank you, Lord Almighty, and we pray that we may never be discouraged whenever we are confronted with real life situations, but to remember that you are in absolute control and that you are never late and that you do everything to your glory. And we thank you for revealing yourself in and through Jesus Christ. It's our prayer now that even going forward, we will endeavor by the power of your Spirit to worship you for who you truly are. And many are the times that we have this false image of your God. But you love us so much and you give yourself to us in Christ that our worship would be genuine. That we would know you, love you, treasure you, trust you, and that we'll enjoy this sweet fellowship with you. Lord, we bless your name. And please keep us in for the rest of this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.